And welcome back to the Locker Room, proudly brought to you by Bayside Auto, of course. Now, our next guest, Neil, needs no introduction, so I'm not going to give him any, other than to say welcome to the Locker Room, cricket legend Dean Jones. G'day, Dino.
Hi, Greg. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay. Yeah, we're going very well, Dean, and hear you nicely. Cricket legend, I suppose you get called stuff like that. How do you handle that sort of stuff if you don't care?
Well, it's better than be called something else.
Well, yeah, I think you're right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but no, it's fun. It's funny, though. It's an interesting call because once you get a baggy green cap, no matter where you are or whatever you do in your life, they always say ex-test cricketer. That's put next to your name. And, you know, and there's a responsibility that goes with it. And whether that's good or bad when you finish your career. But it's as I just wrote in a piece in The Age on Saturday and... also for Sydney Morning Herald, etc., around Australia, that it's quite difficult being a professional cricketer or professional sportsman these days because the things that you have to toe the line compared to probably the days of my day, you know, whether it be the press or you've got to toe the line, with the, you know, really toe the line of what you've got to say in the press and what you can't do. And, you know, there's big money now, and so that might take the fun out of the game a little bit, but that's the way that it is now. They pay massive dollars, so responsibility goes with it.
Now, Dean, Greg here, I played a district cricket semi-final against you in 82-83, and I know you'll remember it well because I had your plum LBW, but it wasn't given.
Yeah, the fact I might have hit it, might be something. Yeah.
And at the age of 22, though, I was amazed when I did the math that you're only 22, and in a star-studded Carlton lineup that included Stackpole, of course, and Buzzard...
Yeah, Scholes and
Scholes, yeah, that's right. There were so many of them. You were the wicket that was most valued because you had that presence about you even then at 22. And I'm just wondering, in retrospect, was that super confidence that you always displayed, and it always made you a bit of a target, I suppose, was that a help or a hindrance throughout your career, do you reckon?
Well Greg, it's interesting. No confidence. Probably I went a bit over the top. Well, not a bit, but probably many times. But no confidence, no performance. Mm. I remember as a boy, Greg, and you played against Stacky even, you know, a few years before that, but I remember playing against Richmond and he got hit in a grand final, but hit in the cheek. Mm. Now, Stacky must have been 41, 42. He's done. He's finished his career. He's just helping other guys along. And gets hit in the cheek by the opening fast bowler from Victoria called Dom Lehane. Mm. Now, it's cutting across the cheek. He's bleeding. It didn't even flush, but it got him. He looked at Robin Bailash, the umpire, the test umpire, and said, have you got a Band-Aid? Now, those two don't get on, Bailash and Stackpole. Actually, Robin Bailash didn't get on too well with anyone, for that matter. But he said, reluctantly pulled a Band-Aid out. So he puts it on his cheek, and I'm watching this as a, like, 15, 16-year-old. And then he gets hit on the chin 2 balls later.
Oh, no.
He thinks flush. And he gets 8 stitches. Well, he needs it. Oh, look, at least 8, 9 stitches across his... He didn't flinch when he got hit. He didn't go down. He didn't grab his cheek. He looked at Robin Bailash. Robin Bailash said, I don't have a Band-Aid big enough. And then Russell Sincock and all these guys start sledging Graham Yallop and all these guys. Stacky was sledging them back. And there's claret coming down the chin on the throat, down on the front of his white. Comes in, decimates the room. How can a guy like that get me in? They're too good a player. Yeah. And then he goes off to hospital, gets stitches, 10, up to 10 or 8 or 9, 10, whatever. And he goes out, makes 128, and we win the game.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I want to be like him.
Yeah.
And that the influence was massive for me. And he took on the best fast bowlers in the world, Stacky and all that type of stuff. He, you know, so you blame him. That'd be my issue on that.
Okay.
So when you had that big test innings in India, the dehydration one, and you really struggled, were you thinking about the guys like Stacky at that point to sort of drive you on? Where'd you get the inspiration and not just say, this is too hot, I'm getting off?
Well, I got smashed up by the West Indies, like everyone does, and in 1984 tour, and I had to go back to the Hawthorne Indoor Nets and get looked after a bit by John Miles and Stacky. And I got 1,000 balls at 150 kilometres an hour bowling at me in the indoor nets and get used to the heat and to work on my back foot play and my defensive skills. And then I made heaps of runs for Victoria in 85 and I didn't get picked for the England tour, which everyone knows you've got to be on an England tour, and I've missed that. And of course, then they had a South African Rebel tour was going on, and I said no to that, $200,000 tax-free, which is a lot of money back then. You could buy 2 houses in Malvern, Hawthorne East, Hawthorne around there for that money. And but I just, as my dad said, do you want to play Test cricket for Australia, or do you want to take the easy money and go? So it's a big thing for a 24, 23-year-old then, you know, taking, you know, what do you do? So I said, Dad, I want to play Test cricket for Australia. He said, well, prove it. Don't prove it to me. Prove it to yourself. Now, I get the chance to play, and then what pushes you on is just to prove people wrong. I always like to feel it. I get fun out of proving people wrong, and more importantly, to prove to myself. And I don't know, it just come from within. You know, I don't remember too much about the game, to be honest, boys, but I do remember up to 100. But when I did get my first Test 100, which was the 200 anyway, that turned out to be 210. But subconsciously, something was telling me inside. I said, don't worry about the 100. There's a big daddy here. There's a 200 here. So I didn't think much of it at the time. So you just push yourself, and it's a bit like the lily. I didn't play with Dennis, or I played a couple of games with Rob Marsh, but it's all about that's the era back then, of proving your toughness and whether or not you can cut it against the big boys and whether you can play with an injury. And play with those things. So, I don't know, that's basically how it happened.
It had a bit to do with Alan Border, wasn't it? Saying, listen, if you can't cope, get off and get it. We'll get a Queenslander out there.
Yeah, because it was another point was, just for your listeners, I hope they put their breakfast away, but I was vomiting everywhere with dehydration, the first sign of dehydration, and then I was urinating in my pants, called involuntary urination, and I was done. I was cooked, basically. So, 44-degree heat. So, AB knew. So, I'm a proud Victorian. And he said, well, let's get a Queenslander out here. Let's get Greg Ritchie. I'm going, fair dinkum. He's not going to get a chance. And he also used to have digs at me. And, you know, behind the scenes, he always thought he was a bit bigger and better player than me at the time. And, you know, it's all about that pecking order, isn't it, boys? No, yeah. The alpha dog and all that sort of stuff. So, absolutely. I had an opportunity to do it, and it worked out.
And is that the innings that you rate as your best? Because I've heard that you rank your first Test innings of 48 against the West Indies pretty highly as well.
Yeah, no, without doubt, even in my own backyard, 48 against the West Indies, Marshall Garner, Robert Holding on the green pitch.
No helmet? Or were the helmet? Oh, you had the helmets in those days.
No, I didn't wear a helmet early. I brought one out a little bit after my first couple of overs, it must be said. I wore a chest guard. I like chest guards more than helmets.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it, when we prided ourselves, Greg, even playing district cricket, no one's good enough to hit you in the head and all that type of stuff. You know, now guys get hit in the head regularly.
Most people were good enough to hit me in the head, I can tell you, if they really tried. But you had a fantastic...
I only ever got hit once in my head. I got five fractures in my cheekbone on a tour of England in 1989. But that's the only time anyone got me.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you had a fantastic career, whichever way you look at it, at both Test and one-day international levels. Some people say that you virtually changed the way one-day cricket was played, you know, with your aggressive style and against the quicks particularly. But did you prefer the one-day game to Test cricket, or was Test cricket always the ultimate?
Well, I played 164 one-days. If I could swap 163 of them for one more Test, I would.
Oh, there you go.
But that one game is it's funny, people talk to you about, oh, you know, you did this and did that, but if I was an AFL footballer, boys, and I would say Dermot Brereton, and you say 5-day premiership, 5-night premiership, and just as cricketers, we in the media, I'm not having a go at you guys, we in the media, we all do it, is it, oh, you know, Steve Waugh's, how many test matches this, and how many, you know, one days and all that, and what's your average? Don't talk about it, what the things you've won. You know, and I'm lucky enough to be a World Cup champion in 1987. I won 3 Ashes series. I've won 5 premierships for my clubs, 4 for Melbourne, 1 for Carlton. I've won a domestic one-day premiership for Victoria. Unfortunately, I missed out every year that we're in the final for Victoria because I was overseas playing for Australia. So, yeah, I hold winning more important than actually averages and whatnot. So it's funny, even in all the test matches, you look on Crick Info, they don't tell you how many games you won. They don't say any of that, do they? How many IPL premierships, or the fact that I've coached Islamabad United just this year and we've won a premiership in our first year. So Unfortunately, they don't say that, but they always talk about the, your runs you make, but that's the game we're in.
Dean, things have changed for the local cricketers, and current cricketers, I should say, and you've been aware of that, making some observations about Glenn Maxwell, that there's always a microphone in your face, and you only have to say something slightly wrong and it's all over the news. Glenn Maxwell gets a headline for not playing because he was 12th man, and they forget, and a bloke makes 150. I'm just wondering, how much they might need a mentor or something like that. Some of the new players, so they just don't inadvertently say the wrong thing.
Know when to shut up.
Well, it's a bit like where Maxie's at as a player, because he just goes, you can see it. Any guy's played cricket. He's got options when he hits the ball and when he bowls, and in the field he does this freak stuff. He can't coach that. God gave him that for free, and it's up to him how he uses that. And the fact he walked into a press conference without really having any idea what's my message, am I trying to get across to the stronger media, and he just stood there and just flipped it out. Now, I didn't think it was too much untoward what he sort of said. It happened a little bit, but if you read the whole context of the transcript, what he said at the press conference wasn't too bad, but they lined him up. Darren Lehman and his sheriffs shot him up a bit. So, he'll learn from that. But he's at the crossroads whereby he does need a mentor. Every player needs a mentor. I think every person, a kid going to, whether playing footy, playing or a girl playing netball and hoping to go on, I think life's difficult now. I think it's harder to be a kid now than ever, than when we were. It's harder opportunities to get qualifications. That we've got overseas students coming in from everywhere, and it's just really difficult for kids to get jobs now. There's so much competition. There's the drug problem, and it's rampant throughout society. It's difficult to be a bloody kid today, and we forget about that, And you need mentors and people to help you get through life, people you can trust. And I was lucky enough to have Stacky, my coach, and my father at the time. So, even now, I give Stacky the odd call, and it's just great. Come back to old school. And now, Glenn Maxwell needs to either get someone like Chris Rogers or Michael Hussey or someone that he can trust to sit back at the coalface and say, now, listen, just cool your jets. What we need to do here is not go to New South Wales, because that's not going to solve the problem. You're going to make as many runs as you can and prove guys wrong and work it out from there. So, he's had a problem where he's flipped three IPL teams, he's flipped two BBL teams, now he's going to flip Victoria to go to New South Wales. What, just going around is going to solve the problem, is it? He's got, no, he's just, unfortunately, sadly, he's a girl that split up 3 months ago, so he's in a bad place at the moment. So, and all of a sudden, kid, Travis Head, comes in, pulls the same stuff as he does well yesterday again, and the kid takes over, and this young kid's going to get his spot before India. He's going to get another slap in the face. So he's going to have to get some good people around him to help him make right decisions.
Indeed.
And, Dino, your family's certainly had a great family history down at Carlton, and with your dad, of course, Barney, that you mentioned, was a bit of a legend down at Carlton before you came along. Sadly, I think I'm right in saying that your dad passed away a while back. Did you ever get a chance to play a game with your dad? And I only ask that because I know a lot of guys, whether they're superstars like you or just park cricketers, value the opportunity to play in the same team as their dad.
There was one game I was playing in the third that dad, one of the players, I even remember his name, Lotto Matucci, from Carlton first, couldn't make it because I think he had a car accident on the way from Carlton to Waverley. And dad took his spot. And we batted together, and I remember he got to about 30. He couldn't hardly run. He was, he's fat as a hippo at the time, Dad. But one guy had a go at him. He said he hadn't played for years, So this guy bowled the ball, and it was a Waverley third ground, which is outside the major Waverley ground there. And he hit it over the top of his head, over the car park, over Waverley Road, and into a house. And I still, to this day, sometimes drive past there, and I remember that shot vividly as if a gunshot just went off. And I, at the non-striker, then I ducked. I could understand how good a player he was. He played 20 years of district cricket, won four premierships. He played 200 games for VFA, for Coburg and represented Victoria in VFA. So he's a damn good fine sportsman in his own right.
He was.
I just want to bring up the current day and a couple other things, Dean. The future of Test cricket gets bandied around a bit. Now, I've enjoyed the pink ball tests that we've had. I was just wondering what sort of changes do you reckon might be needed to make sure that the great game survives?
Well, it's not what we think, it's what Asia thinks now. Mm. And what I mean by Asia is I'm talking about India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, UAE. If they don't get it, we're gone, guys. We are. The test match is gone.
Yeah.
And at the moment, 2010, we're getting 50 to 60 million people a day were watching a test match. Now, India were playing England now, as we speak. And back in 2010, 5-6 years ago, they were getting 50 to 60 million. Now it's only 18 million.
Mm.
You see, now, the thing is, the fact is that the kids prefer to watch the T20.
Mm.
Now, there's no relevance. So we're about to play this test series against Pakistan. We're going to have a first-ever day-night match at the Gabba next week. What relevance is that to the people around the world? Nothing.
Mm.
So my point is this. We need to have a World Test Championship. Now, one-day cricket had no relevance whatsoever until it started to have a World Cup. T20 was the same until it had a World Cup.
Mm.
Now, interestingly, India hated one-day cricket up until 1983 when Kapil Dev, his team, won the World Cup. And then they loved World Cup or one-day cricket. Yeah. They hated T20 cricket right from the get-go. And then, of course, MS Dhoni beat their arch rivals, Pakistan, in the last over in 2007. And now they love T20 cricket, as we know. So, basically, we need to have a World Test Championship.
Mm.
I've actually thought of one. I've given it already to James Sutherland at the ICC, and they actually believe it a lot. They're looking at it, where we can play a Test Championship and be finished under 50 days. And I would dare say, let India win it. And all of a sudden, Asia will be away and we're good to go. And we'll win the ones after it. But there's got to be some sort of relevance, boys, on test matches now. And I would have four-day test matches, not five. And I'll make it 100 overs in a day, make them bowl quicker.
Mm.
And every time they're slow on the over eights, I'll just rip money off them.
Yep.
Mm. Rip money out of their pocket like you wouldn't believe.
Mm.
Yep. And that's the basic way we've got to do it. So it needs to be charged up. It needs to have bonus points. It needs to be revved up, and playing at night is a massive thing. It'll improve ratings by more than 26%. So marketed people tell us. So that's where the game's going.
Mm.
Yeah, like a lot.
Now, mate, you better tell us all about this latest book that you've written, which is out in time for Christmas. So the timing's good, just like yours always was. And what's it called? And what's it about then?
It's called Dino's Cricket Tips. The things that I don't teach you at the academy.
Yeah.
It's a book. It's not an autobiography. Far from it. Not all the seven others out there that could be boring after a while. I did this. I did that.
Yeah.
This is about really simple one percenters about how the game, how things you can do about the game for cricket tips. For example, I went and talked to Sachin Tendulkar, VVS Laxman, Rahul Dravid. Who else? Are Ian Healy, Alan Border, Mark. Ricky Ponting, Nathan Lyon. I've went to all my mates, basically, and give me three cricket tips that would help you. So, for example, I spoke to Sachin and he said, well, if he kept hitting the ball to the field, what do you do? And he said, I change my guard, that's all, and then still bat normally. So instead of batting on middle, I'll bat on leg, or I'll bat 1 foot outside my crease, and that seems to, all of a sudden, the ball goes into the gap.
Mm.
So little things like that, you know. Like Mark Waugh, what do you watch to battle the ball at second slip? He said, I've always watched the ball. And then I watch the rotation of the seam of the ball. It tells me how quick the ball's coming to you. Now, who taught you that at 14? Who taught you that at 16?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, and my biggest one, in one of my tips I put in there, without giving too much away of the book, is that the biggest mistake a batsman makes is watching length. Now, you could have the best technique in the world, but if you go forward to a ball that's short or go back to a ball that's pitched up, you're in a whole lot of trouble.
Mm.
So you need to read length. Now, how do you read length? Is it go to the net and watch the guy release the ball? And when he releases it, think forward or back. Now, how do you know when to go forward or back? Well, the earlier he lets the ball go, the fuller the ball's going to be. The more he holds on to the ball, the shorter it's going to be. Sounds simple, but you just need to look for release points. And there all the little tips with illustrations from John Spooner, who's the best cartoonist from the age. He just has helped me out putting stuff together. A stupid idiot still playing cricket at 74 years of age. But the fact is, it's all these little tips right down to dealing with problem players. And Kevin Peterson talked about how to play the reverse sweep and the switch hit and on what type of bowlers. And he makes it really plain and simple with diagrams. So it's a coaching book, but it's a little also anecdotal. We put a couple of funny stories in there that we did as well. So it's a good Christmas hamper stuffer.
Sounds
so
great.
You get on Booktopia or all good bookstores, Booktopia online, all good bookstores. So I think it's about $24.95. By the time Christmas comes along, it might be $15. I don't know. but I just wanted to put something back into the kids. I'm not making big money out of it, far from it. Wasn't the point. The point is, bit like those Jack Nicklaus and Greg Norman books, you know, remember those cartoons where what's your problem with your golf swing and there's your solution. You know, it's real simple stuff like that, but the things they don't teach you at the academy.
Dino, sounds fantastic. I'm sure plenty of our listeners will go and grab Dino's cricket tips for Christmas. I'm going to get one myself. It sounds really good. I appreciate your time and all of your thoughts, and have a good Christmas yourself, Dean.
Absolutely, you guys. And you're going to the Boxing Day test, you guys?
Yeah, I'll be there one day for sure.
Yeah, I might along.
Well, just we can talk. You can talk me through that LBW that was missing.
I only got over it 2 years ago. You know, I've been losing sleep for 30 years.
That's okay. We won, didn't we?
You won, and then you must have gone on and lost against Richmond. God knows how that happened.
I know why, because we lost the toss, got stuck, put in on a sticky.
Oh, okay.
And I had to. I think the call was I had to bat first because I was catching a flight at 6 o'clock to go to Zimbabwe with the Australian under-25s then.
Excuses.
No, but I tell you what, kids wouldn't know what to do to bat on a wet wicket now.
No, they wouldn't. That's true.
Can you imagine today, this day and age, in district cricket finals, that we had wet pitches back then? Mm. Like, they wouldn't have them now, would they?
No, they wouldn't.
Absolutely right.
So that's where the game's heading. Too much doing the same stuff instead of having different types of pitches. I tell you, you can talk about the bats to the cows come home, but I tell you what, the biggest change in cricket over the last 15 years, the pitches have got flat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
correct.
Until they actually spruce them up a little bit to help the bowlers, we're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. That's a good note to finish on, Dean. I absolutely agree on that one, mate. It's been great chatting with you.